Anything Combat with Johnny K.
But it's Anything Combat, though.
You're tuning in to the Anything Combat show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got some MMA topics to talk about. One that I want to start off with, though, is Lona Kavanagh versus Charles Johnson. I really like this fight. This fight was fucking mad. Charles Johnson has proven that he's like a vet at this point in that division. He keeps on fighting these up-and-comer, these undefeated guys who have a lot of hype around them, and he keeps on destroying them. Lona Kavanagh, I predicted, and also Ilia Topuria predicted, that he's going to go on to do really big things in the sport. From what I saw with Lona Kavanagh just then, he looked fucking legit. He looked seriously fucking high level. Like, seriously high level. He's still young. I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we see him in title conversation, top five in flyweight. I was very impressed with him. One thing that kind of confused me was they said that he was a Muay Thai practitioner when they announced him. However, in the short range strike selections and strike differential that he was going for, he was going for a lot of boxing. And I know his boxing, his hands are very sharp. We saw that because he tagged Charles Johnson in that fight really well in that first round. So what I found a little bit strange was that, you know, where are the elbows, where are the knees if he's a Muay Thai practitioner? On the other hand, Inner G showed his vetness, and I knew that he was going to be really fucking tough for this fight. I don't think that that's a fair representation when like a 23-year-old goes up against a 31, 32-year-old. Like, we're talking really good from an athleticism point of view with the young guys, and we're looking at like veteran level shit in terms of the older guys. And if you pair those two up with somebody like Charles Johnson, who's an athlete in his own right, who's been around and seen it all, then he out-toughed Lona. Even though Lona may go on to be a better fighter than Charles, I think I'm pretty confident in saying that he will go on to be better than Charles Johnson. However, Charles Johnson puts him out in the second round brutally. And I didn't like what I saw out of Lona, some bad habits where it almost looked like he was kind of appreciating his own work a little bit too much. He would hit him with tag him with some combos, and then he would just kind of sit there. I'm not a fan when fighters do that. When you're disengaging, either frame off as you're leaving so you can re-engage, or kind of, you know, choose an angle, pick an angle and go off, because if they run at you, you can nail them, right? If you go in a straight line backwards with your hands down, it takes someone like Charles Johnson to dart forward and hit you at the end of their punch where their elasticity in their arm is so much stronger, that they've generated so much force that they've fucking sat you down and they've totally knocked you out. So, yeah, is Charles Johnson good? Yeah, fuck yeah, he's good. He's fucking mad. I'm looking at the rankings right now and he's ranked number 13. There's a couple matches here that, you know, would be really good for him. I think him against Alex Perez might be a good match to make, just from the fact that, you know, Perez too is a veteran. I think if Charles is going to go like towards the title, towards that top 10, he should probably take that match. He hasn't been paired up with anyone. So I wouldn't mind seeing that. That's fucking mad, because Alex Perez, for some reason, is at ranked 8. And I don't even agree with that, because I don't even know who Alex Perez has beaten. On the other side, Charles Johnson, Inner G, he's beaten some really fucking good guys. Listen to these fucking wins that Inner G has. He has a 15-0 Azat Muksam. He has Joshua Van, who's number one in the division right now. He knocked out Joshua Van, who's fighting for the title against Pantoja. Sumadaji on the same card, who had like an MVP performance. He's already beaten Sumadaji, and now he's beaten Lona Kavanagh, who I picked to be in the top five at one point. So he's KO'd Lona, he's KO'd Joshua Van. These are some serious, serious fucking wins. The only person here, the asterisk, is that he lost to Ramazan Tamirov. Now, this Uzbekistan fighter, everybody in the community is a little bit suspicious of Ramazan because he failed that drug test. Now, did he take some steroids or some sports enhancers? I'm not too sure. He said that he had a leg injury. Maybe he might have taken something in his supplement stack to fix his leg. I wouldn't be too surprised if he doesn't pop, if he's actually an all-natural athlete. Because Ramazan, he comes from Uzbekistan, which is a boxing-heavy nation, a very, very strong-handed boxing nation, a nation which their boxing style is conducive to having really strong hands, where they get a lot of knockouts. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tamirov didn't actually pop and didn't take anything illegal. So for him to lose to Tamirov is not really that big of a deal, because I think Ramazan will go on to do big things in the division. Also, he's on a 11 fight win streak right now. He's on an 11 fight win streak, and the guy's got fucking, like, in his last six, he's won five by first round KO. So I want to see Tamirov back in there. That fight, rebook that with Asu Almabayev. Also, another fucking sick match that they could make is I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Jose Achoya. I really like this guy. You know what I mean? He fought Asu Almabayev. He lost to Lona Kavanagh, but yeah, really underrated fucking fighter with Jose Achoya. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of the flyweight division right now. Joshua Van is taking on Pantoja. Now, I'm of the belief that, you know, Joshua Van, he could probably beat everybody in the division right now based on what I saw out of the Brandon Royval fight. Now, if he fights Tatsu Taira with better jiu-jitsu, maybe he might have a problem there. But from what I'm seeing, I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Joshua Van in terms of boxing. I put him up there with some of the best boxers in the UFC from what we've seen, which is also a testament to how good Inner G is for beating him. Joshua Van, now after beating Brandon Royval, he's going to fight Alessandro Pantoja. Now, do I think that he beats Alessandro? I don't reckon. I think that if you gave Joshua Van 3-4 more years, he's 23 right now. If we see him at like 27 or 20, you know, 26, 28 around there, then maybe he might have the skills to defend submissions, to grapple more. I haven't seen enough of his grappling. I've just seen his boxing. And in terms of boxing, he's up there with, I'm looking at the division right now. In terms of technical boxing, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got the best boxing up there with Brandon Moreno. You know, Moreno and him, I wouldn't mind seeing that match. Joshua Van is going to take on Pantoja. I think Pantoja's grappling is a little bit too much. I think his veteran ability to mix up the grappling and put a pace on people, I think that will be really, really bad for Joshua Van. I don't think he's going to get his rhythm going. I think that's going to be the problem. He's not going to be able to get his rhythm going because Alessandro just runs at you. Joshua can tag him, frame him off and tag him. It's unlikely that, you know, we see a lot of KOs at flyweight, which goes to show you how strong and how sharp Joshua Van's boxing is, because he's KOing these guys based on technique. He's just a really solid technical boxer. So why wouldn't it work on Pantoja? It won't work on Pantoja because Alessandro is going to run at him. He's probably going to grab his arm. He's probably going to switch to the body. He's probably going to hold the body. He's probably going to bore him out and kind of slow him down. The more he can slow him down, the more he takes the pop out of Joshua Van's punches. Joshua, you know what? He's got some really fucking good cardio. Right, it says here that in terms of significant strikes for that match, Brandon Royval got 215 out of the 467 that he threw, and Joshua Van got 204 out of 305. And we all know that Joshua took out that third round because of that knockdown at the end. So I think Pantoja will probably just put too much of a pace on him and slow him down with the grappling and mix the game up, also ruin his potential to build into the fight with his boxing, as we've seen with like JDM and we've seen with Ilya and we've seen with Joshua, these guys that are really fundamental boxers. If you allow them to keep on punching, after a while, their momentum's too strong, they've found their range, and it's just a nightmare to fight them if you can't take them down. In the flyweight division, they're saying that fight is going to take place in December. I really like that match, number one versus the champion. even though Pantoja's older at 35 and Joshua's 23, I don't think it's that simple of a matchup. I think there's too much of a skill discrepancy between the two, meaning that Pantoja is probably going to utilize his jiu-jitsu game really effectively, and I wouldn't be surprised if Joshua unfortunately gets submitted in this fight or dragged out for kind of a boring type of control fight. But I reckon that Pantoja will submit him. Same with Tatsuro Taira. I think Tatsuro also has the style to beat Joshua. So I believe for the division at the moment, Pantoja will remain the champion. Manel Kapp is also fighting Brandon Royval in the division right now. I just think that at the moment for Brandon Royval's career, I personally wouldn't mind him going up to bantamweight. I think flyweight's a little bit he's too big for the division at the moment. And I think that Manel Kapp, even though that he's a little bit older, he's kind of a younger man's fighter because he's so quick, he's so agile. I think Manel's probably, he's got too strong. I think Manel's hands are too strong in this fight, and I think Manel will probably outstrike him. I think the division slowly, you know, it's grown on me. Before I was looking at it and I was like, this is an empty division. There's no one here. But now looking at it, the division's fucking full. The division is full right now, and I'm really liking the direction that they're going. I think we need to look out for Lona Kavanaugh and Jose Ochoa. I like those two. Yeah, also definitely pay attention to Ramazan Timirov. I've been talking about him for a very long time now. He's entering his prime. He's only 2-0 in the UFC. We haven't seen too much about him, but everything that we have seen, he's just fucking lethal. Check out his knockouts. They're fucking vicious. And once again, in the division, I really like Aslam Abayev, always have been. I know people got really annoyed with his last performance against Ochoa, saying that, you know, he was boring or whatever. I don't give a fuck. I like his grappling and I like his hands. I think he's a very talented fighter, and he's also got some potential. And finally, we'll end the flyweight division recap on this. What's up with Tagir Ulumbekov? Yeah, what's up with Tagir Ulumbekov? If you remember, ages ago, I said that I wouldn't mind seeing Tagir be rebooked against Kyoji Horiguchi. I want to see Horiguchi take his second entrance into the UFC. I spoke about that previously on the show. Tagir is the guy to do it up against. I don't know, man. I don't see what people are seeing. You know, I know that he's Khabib's protege and he trains with Islam Makhachev, Usman, and Umar, all the boys. But Tagir, I think he needs to fight somebody a little bit up the rankings. I think, you know, the last time he did it, he fought in, he's 6-1 in the UFC, and his only loss, really, is Tim Elliott. And, you know, even Tim showed that he's a beast up against Kai Asakura recently. So, not a bad loss at the time, because that was 3 years ago. Now Tagir is, but Tagir's 34. I'm looking at his age right now. Like, what the fuck? Tapology is saying that he's 34. I want to see Tagir take on some guys in the rankings. I think now for Tagir, you know, he's on this win streak. He just beat Mans, who I don't even know. He beat Cody Durden. He beat Cody Durden, Carpenter, and Azat. Who is decent. So, but he's beating these guys by decision. You know what I mean? I'm not too impressed with Tagir. I know that he's very he's got a very broad skill set because he trains with Khabib and all those guys. But I don't see it. I think that, you know, if they were to book him up against someone like Aslam Abayev, or even who knows, like Kai Kara France, you know, I think Tagir might have a lot of trouble with guys like that. So, yet to be determined. Maybe he could beat Kai Kara France with the grappling, but someone like a Tatsu Taira, I'd probably pick Tatsuro to beat Tagir. Not really too impressed with what I'm seeing out of Ulumbekov right now. What's fucking Brandon Moreno doing right now? I think he's sitting on the fact that he's been Amir Albazi and Steve Urseg back-to-back, kind of earning himself a title shot. But I don't believe he wants to fucking fight Pantoja again. You know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, he's earned a title shot now. Okay, good. Good on you. But Pantoja's beaten him not once, not fucking two times, three times now. Pantoja's a solid 3-0 on the former champion, Brandon Moreno. So if he's 3-0 and that fight only took place recently, I find it very difficult to kind of rebook that fight. I think Brandon Moreno is probably waiting Joshua Van KOs Pantoja. If Joshua Van KOs Pantoja, I think Moreno's right in there and can beat Joshua. I just think that the skill gap between Pantoja and Moreno's just a little bit much right now. Pantoja just seems to have more of a dog in him, and Pantoja just happens to be a better fighter, and those skills, each person's skill set kind of it's not conducive for Moreno to fight him. So it's a little bit much. So he probably doesn't want that fourth fight. He's probably waiting until Joshua Van fights Pantoja. If Joshua wins, then Moreno stacks up against Joshua Van favorably, and he can probably mix up the grappling and beat him. If Pantoja wins, then Moreno's in this really weird limbo state where, you know, I don't really think he's big enough to go up to bantamweight, so he needs to stay at flyweight. So if he maybe fights Pantoja again for a fourth time, that'll be fucking interesting. If Moreno fights Pantoja for a fourth time, that will mean that he'll probably be the only fighter ever in UFC history to have a quadrilogy against two fighters. Now, one of those, right, if he were to do that, is in the, you know, the Ultimate Fighter, but I still count it. Everybody still counts that shit, even though it's an exhibition, right? So he would have fought Figueiredo and Pantoja four times each. And if that doesn't tell you my opinion on the flyweight division being shallow during that period of time, you know, everybody that's fighting in the division are doing rematches or trilogies, you know? There aren't any new matches. That's why, you know, they got Kai Sakura in there, who turned out not to be, you know, the most skillful fighter. And that's why he lost to Tim Elliott, who's a vet. You know, now Joshua Van's here, finally, interrupting that division. But I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say with this video is that I'm telling you there's guys coming up here that we really need to look out for. Timirov is a guy. Charles Johnson's a guy. Lona Kavanaugh, Jose Ochoa, and Aslam Abayev. And yeah, Ramazan Timirov. There's a lot of guys here that are on the come up who are at the bottom who are going to start making staking their way towards that title. And if the title changes hands soon, it's gonna open up the division, and it's gonna be a really fun division. You know, the UFC has never really been big on flyweight, and for a while, I personally thought that it was a little bit shallower, the division. Now, looking at it, I'm very happy with where the division is, and I think that the division's future is gonna be fucking mad. These matchups that they're gonna make with the new guys, a lot of stuff that people need to look out for, and a lot of diverse styles in terms of fighting. So I'm very excited, and everyone should be, for this division at the moment, because of how dense it is. I think that it's a really good division to watch, and you can get a lot out of it. You know, the flyweight division at one point in time was really shallow. Also, the fact that, you know, Demetrius Johnson was running through the division. But also, now that Pantoja had the belt, that he beat everybody in the division. So, Pantoja's kind of making his claim at the moment. He's right underneath Demetrius. He's second, the second best flyweight at the moment to ever live. I think that he's earned that right, and he's higher than Figueiredo and Moreno. Even though Figueiredo actually beat Pantoja, now I think that with all the new guys coming up, the division is really dense, and it's really exciting time to watch the flyweight division. So it's something that you should really pay attention to. With all the information that I have, I'm very confident in saying that the guys that we really need to look out for in this division are Joshua Van, even though he might lose to Pantoja. The guys that we really need to look out for are Joshua Van because of his boxing, Tatsuru Taira because of his jiu-jitsu, Lona Kavanagh because I see him rounding out his game. You know, I really like the wrestling that I saw in that fight with Inner G. His wrestling looked really fucking high level. But the guy that I have an asterisk on that I'm not too confident about, but we'll get some more information on him and we'll see. I'm of the belief that maybe this guy could even be a UFC champion. Ramzan Tamirov. This guy is the craziest cunt in this division. This guy's a fucking ruthless motherfucker. He's got some serious KO power and he's a fucking force to be reckoned with in the division. So yeah, Ramzan Tamirov is someone that you really need to look out for. I think Lona Kavanagh is the most important fighter to look at in this division. Even though he lost, I think he's going to go on to fight for the title eventually. I would say we need more information on Ramzan. We'll see how he does, if he can wrestle, if he can do jiu-jitsu well. His striking's fucking mad. He's gnarly. I'm very confident in saying that Lona Kavanagh could get to the top five of the division, maybe even fight for a title. So right now, out of everything that I've said, all these guys are really fun to watch. They're very, very high level. And it's just a different type of division than all the other divisions, seeing how dense and the skill level is and how it's the division right now, especially at flyweight, is very unpredictable at the moment, seeing that there's so many different actors coming in. So many different fighters that could make their claim towards that top five. So right now, the flyweight division is in a really, really good place. The flyweight division was really shallow. Now I think it's fucking seriously dense, really high quality, and maybe, in fact, the best flyweight division that we've ever seen in the UFC. Anything Combat Podcast, become a combatant.
Combatant. Kend.